It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Inner Life. We made it again. Another week in the books. Hi, I'm Josh Raymond. Happy Friday. When was the last time that you read a book? What's the last movie you watched or the latest episode for a television show that you saw? We love stories, don't we? We like to hear about someone who beats the odds or they succeed in spite of the obstacles in front of them. That's why even though many stories will have the same basic structure, we still love to take that journey with the protagonist. We want to accompany the hero of the story. Even if we see the same thing done again and again, just in slightly different ways, we enjoy the experience of the story. One of the big plot devices that gets used over and over in storytelling is the reveal of a character, where there's someone or something different than who you originally thought they were. Think of the classic, The Wizard of Oz, the great and powerful wizard that eventually we find out he ends up being shown as just an ordinary man. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. There's Tyler Durden, whose real identity is discovered in the movie Fight Club. At the end of Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho, we discover who Norman Bates' mother really is. In The Usual Suspects, there's the surprising reveal of Kaiser Soze's identity at the end of the film. There's the movie Alien, where Sigourney Weaver's character of Ripley, she eventually learns that Ash, the ship's science officer, he's not who he appears to be. And maybe one of the most famous moments of a revealed identity in a movie is from The Empire Strikes Back. Darth Vader explains that he's Luke Skywalker's father. Even when they filmed that scene, very few people on the set knew that this was the actual plot twist. And that's because the actor who played Darth Vader, David Prowse, he was not the same person who was the voice of Darth Vader. You might already know this, that the lines of dialogue for Darth Vader were recorded after the filming, recorded by James Earl Jones. So when David Prowse was acting that scene with Mark Hamill, David Prowse, his line said that Obi-Wan Kenobi murdered Luke's father, and that's what Mark Hamill had to respond to, had to react to as he was acting. And Mark Hamill, he had only been told very shortly before they acted that scene, before they shot that scene, that this was not the real dialogue that would be added in later by James Earl Jones. That the real line explaining how Vader was Luke's father, this was the real line that would be recorded for the finished movie. And so even some of the cast and crew, they were surprised later when they saw this scene in the theater. And only then did they learn of the shocking reveal. Mark Hamill said that his co-star, Harrison Ford, Han Solo, Harrison Ford in the theater for the premiere, he wasn't even aware of it, was completely stunned. When we get to see someone in that new light, though, when a part of them is shown to us that we never realized before, when we get that fuller glimpse of their complete identity, maybe for better, maybe for worse, it helps us to know them a little better. We might be surprised that someone who seemed a bit maybe two-dimensional, a little simple to us in the past, now with this new facet of their personality, or their identity that is revealed to us, they become a more complex, a more interesting person. Three of the apostles, they had this kind of experience in a very huge way. Tomorrow, in the church, we celebrate the Feast of the Transfiguration. This event where Peter, James, and John, they go up on a mountain with Jesus, and they see him in a new light, literally in a new light. He's shining, he's radiating. He's in the complete fullness of his glory as the second person of the Trinity. And then Moses and Elijah, they appear. They're talking with him. You know, after that, I just can't believe that Peter, James, or John would ever look at Jesus the same way. Not ever again. Well, today on The Inner Life, we want to look at this monumental moment in the life of Jesus and what it means for us here, nearly 2,000 years later. And I'm very glad to welcome back to the program today Father Ed Broom. Father Broom is a priest with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. He is the associate pastor at St. Peter Chanel's Church in Hawaiian Gardens, California. Father, welcome back to the program. Glad to have you here as we look ahead to the Transfiguration.
Great to be with you. Thank you very much for inviting me. God bless you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Father. So we have in the Transfiguration, maybe you can walk us through the basic events of what we see there in this moment from the life of Christ. We have three different accounts in the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels. All three of them record this, and each of them is fairly similar, but you get some different insights into the event depending on which one you're reading. So can you kind of give us the story of what we see here for the Transfiguration as we begin, Father?
Yes, we have Peter, James, and John, who are the dear friends of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They're invited to climb the mountain with the Lord. They climb the mountain with the Lord, and then they see our Lord transfigured in glory. And there's a conversation that goes on between Jesus as well as Moses and Elijah. And then there's a voice from heaven, in which we also hear the voice of the Father from heaven in the baptism of our Lord. And this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. And the apostles are, so to speak, terrified by this vision of Jesus, and he's transfigured, in which his clothes become white as snow. And then Peter says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you like, we can build three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And basically, that'd be a summary of it. As you pointed out, Josh, you've got the version of Matthew 17, Luke 9, and Mark 9, 6. And given that we're in the year C of the church liturgical year, we'll be listening tomorrow to the version of Luke chapter 9. But kind of in a nutshell, that would be a short summary of this extraordinary, as you're saying, this extraordinary happening in the life of Peter, James, and John. And we're able to read through it and meditate upon it 2,000 years later, and also to derive a lot of fruit from this. I give this spiritual exercise to St. Ignatius. It just lends itself to contemplation, this wonderful, wonderful mystery in the life of our Lord. So that's kind of in a nutshell, a summary of it.
Well, there's so many different things that we can talk about here. You know, what we see in this this moment in the life of Christ. Is there anything that I guess initially stands out to you? Something that grabs you as you talk about, you know, we can meditate, we can reflect on this. Something that just has always kind of captured your imagination and allowed you to enter more deeply into this as you reflect on the life of Christ?
Yes. Yesterday, when our Lord asked the apostles who he is, there are various opinions, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah. And then Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I gave a short homily yesterday on the Christological question. And it's namely this: who is Christ for you? And over the past few years, there's so many different titles. He's the Christ. He's the Savior. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the bread of life. He's a good shepherd. But Josh, over the past couple of years, I just like what Jesus said at the Last Supper: I call you friends. And the fact that Jesus was walking up this mountain with his select group, Peter, James, and John, that's just one idea that jumps out at me, because there are a lot of golden nuggets there, is that I can say that Jesus is was a friend of the apostles, but he's a friend of Josh Raymond and thousands of people that are listening on Relevant Radio. Jesus is truly your best friend. So that's what jumps out at me right away. And there are many other things that could be said, but I cherish the fact that Jesus is my best friend and he'll never fail me. I fail him, but he's so merciful. He'll always forgive me. He's always has those arms open to receive me, like we have in the parable of the prodigal son and Jesus on the cross. So friendship with Christ would be just one idea that jumps out at me, Josh.
Father Ed Broom is our spiritual director here on The Inner Life today. As we're looking ahead to the feast that we'll celebrate in the church tomorrow, the Feast of the Transfiguration of Jesus, and where Peter and James and John, they have that encounter, that moment where they see the reality of who Jesus is. And when have you had that moment where you came to a fuller realization of who Jesus is? And just like Father was saying, that he invites you, he calls you to be in relationship with him as your friend. Maybe you've had that encounter in Mass where you received the Eucharist, being able to really see, oh, this is Jesus. And it changed you. It allowed you to enter more deeply into that relationship. How has Jesus made himself real to you in your life? We'd love to hear your story. Maybe you have a question about one of the lines in this story that we see of the Transfiguration. You're welcome to call in and speak with Father Ed Broom. Our phone number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You know, Father, as you were talking about the reading that we had at Mass yesterday, the gospel passage where Peter declares that Jesus is the Christ, and this scene, I think it's both in Matthew and in Luke, they both say it's only about a week later that the Transfiguration happened. And actually, no, I'm looking here. It's Mark. Mark says it's 6 days. Luke says it's 8 days after whatever had just been said. So it's about a week later. And, you know, Peter made this proclamation, and he obviously believed it, but I don't think he was really ready to be confronted with the reality of Jesus in all of his true glory. And that makes me think, you know, is this something that we all would struggle with? You know, if we were really faced with Jesus in that sort of radiant glory, you know, we go to Mass, we say we have faith, we say we believe, but if we saw Jesus as he really is, you know, I would have to imagine most of us would find ourselves maybe a trembling mess, you know, kind of like Peter there, where it says he's terrified. You know, we wouldn't know what to do with ourselves there, because maybe we don't believe as much as we say we do.
Yes. You know, in the lives of the saints, now and then they'll have a little glimpse of what our Lord is. St. Paul says, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, nor is it entered in the mind of man, the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love him. So anything that we can see in this world is going to be a pale image or glimmer. But St. Catherine of Siena, who was one of the women doctor of the church, once saw the hand of Christ, and she said if she saw any more, she would have died because of the beauty of the hand of Christ. And then the life of St. Francis of Assisi, he said he heard one note of a melody of a song in heaven. And he said if he were to have heard another note of a melody, he just would have died because of the utter beauty. So those are mere glimpses of what heaven will be like with respect to the beautiful music that we can imagine in heaven. And Catherine of Siena was able to just see the beauty of the hand of Christ. Try to imagine seeing the face of Christ. Wow. And I think what St. Paul says hits the nail on the head. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor is it into the mind of man, the wonderful, wonderful things that God has prepared for those that love him. So anything that we can see in this life is going to be a pale image of really who God is.
Yeah, well, and that kind of goes back to then what Jesus talks about after his resurrection when he speaks with Thomas. You know, do you believe because you have seen me? And blessed are those who believe who have not seen. So there's, you know, even though we aren't necessarily ready and we don't comprehend fully what it would be like to be in the presence of Jesus as his true, fully revealed glory of being that second person of the Trinity, God makes up for what's lacking there, you know, for us. And I think that's so beautiful too. It's okay. Even though you don't have faith enough, even though it might be something that would be terrifying to see me as I am, I'll help guide you there. I'll send you the comforter. The Holy Spirit will help guide you so you can, whatever is lacking in your belief, it'll be helped and supported by me, by this third person of the Trinity. And that's so comforting, Father.
Yes, yes. That's a good point, because during the life of the apostles, they seem to have glimmers of Christ. Josh, what you just mentioned, referring to the gospel yesterday, Peter makes the profession of faith that Christ is the Son of the living God. Then our Lord speaks about the fact that he's going to suffer, and Peter takes him aside and he reprimands Christ, saying, "Lord, far be this to happen to you." And Jesus calls Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, because you're not reasoning like God. You have a too human understanding of what I'm saying to you." So you see, before the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, we can see moments of deep understanding, the profession of faith, but then they fail. But then once the Holy Spirit comes, we see a radical change. And I think it'd be a good idea, maybe in a conversation, to see the pre-Pentecost Peter and the post-Pentecost Peter. We see him kind of fumbling in that gospel passage yesterday. But once the Holy Spirit descends upon Peter and the apostles, Peter gets up and he gives that Pentecost speech we read in Acts chapter 2. And man, the people are blown away. He ends up by getting 3,000 of them were baptized after that Pentecost discourse of St. Peter. Whereas a few days earlier, Holy Thursday after the Last Supper, Peter denies our Lord three times. So I really, Josh, like what you said, is the Holy Spirit can really enlighten us to see who Christ is and to love him with all our heart. We have to rely a lot upon the presence of the Holy Spirit. Even before this program, I was praying that the Holy Spirit would give us a lot of light and insight in this wonderful program.
Well, and that's our prayer here every day before this show begins, is just that the Holy Spirit works through the words that are spoken, that it speaks to the hearts of those who are listening. And it is all reliant upon him. As you're saying that too, I was just thinking, wow, 3,000 people who respond immediately when they hear the preaching of Peter there on Pentecost. Have you ever had 3,000 people who converted to the church after you've given a homily, Father?
No, that has never happened yet. Probably never will happen. If I get one or two, I think I'd be happy starting with myself. Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Again, our spiritual director here on the program today, Father Ed Broom. He is a priest with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary and associate pastor at St. Peter Chanel's Church in Hawaiian Gardens, California. Today, talking about the Feast of the Transfiguration that we will celebrate tomorrow here in the liturgical calendar. And how have you had that kind of encounter with Jesus, that moment where you came to a fuller realization of who Jesus is, kind of like the apostles up there on the mountain, seeing Jesus truly revealed there? How has Jesus made himself real to you in your life? Or maybe you have a question about the Transfiguration, about the events that we read in the Gospels, and you'd like to ask Father Ed Broom, you're welcome to call in 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, or you can email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com. One other thing I want to mention before we go to the break here is this month, August, is National Make-A-Will Month. And Relevant Radio has partnered with an organization called Free Will to allow you to make a will absolutely free. It's very easy, and you can do that. The only thing you have to do after you go through the process is just simply get it notarized. I think that's the only thing that you have to do after you do this. And it only takes about 20 minutes or so. You can find that at relevantradio.com/freewill. Again, relevantradio.com/freewill. And, you know, there's the option to make a charitable donation after you pass. You can even include Relevant Radio in that, but that's not even required. There's no obligation there at all. So if you don't have a will and you'd like to make one, and you don't want to have to worry about paying attorney's fees, you know, that's an option. I hope you look at it and consider it. RelevantRadio.com/freewill. We'll be right back with more here on The Inner Life in just a moment. You're listening to Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters, flexible premium life insurance. For less than $12 a month, a 40-year-old can get $500,000 of coverage. Go to relevantradio.com/forester, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states. The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm Josh Raymond, and so glad to have you here with us today as we talk about the Transfiguration of Jesus. Tomorrow is the Feast of the Transfiguration, and I love being able to look at these moments in the life of our Lord along with you as we learn a little bit more, as we dive into these scenes in the life of Jesus. And hopefully it helps us to be able to know Him better, that we can have that stronger, deeper relationship with Him, that we can be more in full communion with Christ. And it makes a difference in our daily walk. We're on this journey together, and I'm glad to have you as a part of the program here. If you'd like to call in and join us here, the phone number in the studio is 888-914-9149. Today I'm talking with Father Ed Broom. He's our spiritual director for the hour today. And as we talk about the Transfiguration, I'd love to hear, when have you had that moment where, you know, whatever it was, some event that happened in your life where it helped you in your faith, your belief in Christ, in the Eucharist maybe, or, you know, just in your prayer, how you were able to know that Christ is more really there for you. How has Jesus made Himself real to you in your life? Or maybe you have a question about this passage that we'll hear tomorrow from the Gospel of Luke, the Transfiguration. You're welcome to call in and speak with Father Ed Broom, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Father, picking up, just kind of looking at a lot of the different little details that we have here in this passage, one of the things that we'll hear tomorrow, specifically from Luke's Gospel, we have Jesus, He invites Peter, James, and John. He goes up to pray on the mountain. And I think it's Luke's Gospel is the only one who records that they fall asleep while Jesus is praying. And this is somewhat similar to what happens then in the Garden of Gethsemane, the apostles falling asleep while Jesus is praying, inviting them to come with Him. You know, He goes further along and prays. But most occurrences where you see something like this early in the life of Christ, and then you see it again, there's some sort of foreshadowing or something, you know, later is revealed, or it gives us some sort of insight into a larger truth. Is that happening here in this scene where we have the apostles who fall asleep before Jesus is transfigured? Does it point to something, you know, like the Garden of in Gethsemane, or give us something we can kind of take away?
Yes. We see these three apostles, Peter, James, and John, and three key moment in the life of our Lord's public life during the resurrection of Jairus. We have Peter, James, and John that witnessed that. Then they are present on the Mount of the Transfiguration. Also, as you mentioned, the apostles are there, Peter, James, and John, in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Gospel of Luke, among many themes, one of the key themes in the Gospel of Luke is that of prayer. It's true. We see Jesus, when He's baptized in the Gospel of Luke, He's praying. Also, we have one of the versions of the Our Father. One of the versions of the Our Father is taken from the Gospel of Luke. Then we have also Luke chapter 18. We've got two parables on prayer, the insistent widow as well as the Pharisee and the publican. So I think it's very important. Yes, one point that we can derive from this is the importance of prayer, but also the fact that they fell asleep in the Transfiguration as well as in the Garden of Gethsemane is indicative of what sometimes happens in our life. Instead of praying as we should, we give in to lethargy and laziness and discouragement. And we all know this from experience. When we pray fervently, we're able to live a life of holiness. We're also able to fight against temptations. We're also to experience a lot of joy, even in the midst of our tribulations. So I think, Josh, as you're pointing out, of the many, many, many lessons that we can glean from this is to make a concerted effort in our lives not to give up on prayer. August 1st, we celebrate the feast day of St. Alfonso Liguori, and among the many writings that we have, St. Alfonso says, "He who prays will be saved. He who does not pray will be lost, and he who prays little places his salvation in jeopardy." So I really like that idea that you're underlining, is that prayer is important, and we should pray for the grace to be faithful to prayer until the end. Alfonso is insistent. If we persevere in prayer in the life, we're going to make it. But if we just give up prayer, we're placing our salvation in jeopardy.
Father Ed Broom is our spiritual director. Again, the phone number here, 888-914-9149. Father, let's talk about the significance of Moses and Elijah in just a moment, but we've got a number of people who are calling in to speak with you, so let's go to the phones. Again, the phone number, 888-914-9149, as we talk about the transfiguration of Jesus, and how have you had that kind of moment where you've experienced Jesus in a more significant, more real way? Jesus has made himself very real to you, and we'd love to hear your experience and how that has deepened your faith, how it has strengthened you in your spiritual journey. Lee is calling in from Oregon. Lee, glad to have you on the program. Welcome to The Inner Life.
Thank you. I'm taking a medical leave. It's just been a horrible thing. I'm an attorney with an organization that's nonprofit, and in the same day when I work with juveniles and families in dependency situations, and in the same day that I have caseworkers and clients and other attorneys telling me how great it is to work with me, my boss tells me and puts, you know, that I have significant complaints from our community partners. And so I thought I would work through it with a plan that they asked me to do. And then yesterday when I was meeting with her about it, there was like a transfiguration, just like you said. And I saw her for who she really was. And I just knew that there was no working through this. And she's never understood what part God has in my life. So I don't think she's ever understood me and who I am and the work I do and why I do it. I used in my letter of diversity, I used the catechism to explain who I am. I mean, I've been me. And today I'm just feeling the peace of Christ in a way that I didn't think I would on this day when I'm giving up and walking away from something I thought God gave me to do, and God did give me to do, and that I loved, and I was really good at. So I'm really feeling Jesus today holding me up.
Makes me think about the fact the apostles, after they were scourged and they were persecuted for preaching Christ, says that they rejoiced that they were able to suffer for the sake of the name. So it's true that if we're walking with the Lord, even in the midst of many trials and tribulations, he can fill our hearts with a lot of peace and a lot of joy. So, you know, once you're moved by the Spirit, living by the Spirit, irrespective of what's going on around you, you know that you have God within you, and that's a source of infinite peace and joy.
Lee, thanks for calling in. Father, let's go to Marcy, who's calling in from Modesto, California. Marcy, you're on the air with Father Ed Broom.
Hi, Father. My experience was I'm a lifelong Catholic. I went to Catholic school, and also somebody invited me to go to Journey in Christianity, which is a three-day retreat. And I went there, and the first 2 days, Friday and the lady dropped me off. And the first 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, Friday and Saturday, it was kind of like, you know, I've done all this. I've seen all this. Where's the big awakening that people have talked about and the experiences they've had? So Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, something special very happens at Journey in Christianity. And I wake up and hear this lady who dropped me off on Friday night is standing at my bedside. And I look her in the eyes, and I saw Jesus in her eyes. I actually saw Jesus. And it was like it changed my whole Catholic faith and what I learned and what I believed in, that I realized he's not in heaven. He's right here. He's in me. He's in you. And I saw him, and it just changed my whole perspective on my faith and what I believe and how I believe now. And that was my experience, and it was truly an awakening for me.
Beautiful. You know, we should pray for the grace to recognize Christ in many ways, and Josh has made an allusion to this already a couple of times, but especially when we draw close to Christ in the context of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. There is a dogmatic constitution from Vatican II, Sacrosanctum Concilium, which speaks about the various ways in which God communicates to us in the context of the Mass, and one is he's present in the community that unites in his name, as Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am in their midst. He's also present in song, as St. Augustine says, whoever sings well, prays twice. He's also present in the reading of the Word of God, because the Bible, the definition of the Bible is the Word of God. Even more so when the priest or deacon gets up to proclaim the gospel, that's when Christ is truly speaking to us in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And then we have what is called the real presence. Real presence, Aquinas speaks about transubstantiation, meaning that when the priest takes the bread and he says the words of consecration, he takes the wine and says the words of consecration, take and eat, this is my body, take and drink, this is my blood, you have the real presence. That is really Jesus there present, there lifted in the hands of the priest. And that's why people often in the signs of the heart, they'll say, my Lord and my God, that prayer of St. Thomas, when they're looking into the eyes of Christ present in the Eucharistic presence. And then when you go up to receive Holy Communion, the body of Christ, you say amen, which means I believe. You receive Christ in the depths of your heart. And finally, Sacrosanctum Concilium, the dogmatic constitutional liturgy, says that Christ is also present in the person of the priest, the Alter Christus. So among the many ways that God can speak to us, especially as practicing Catholics, in the context of the liturgy, the Mass is without a doubt one of the most powerful, if not the most efficacious, means in which Christ can truly communicate his presence to us, not simply in a symbolic way, but in a real way. That's why we say the real presence, not the symbolic presence as the Protestants would believe, but the real presence. Once you've got transubstantiation, the words of consecration, really and truly, even though it maybe it looks like bread, maybe it tastes like bread, maybe it breaks like bread, it's not bread, it's the body of Christ. Maybe it tastes like wine, smells like wine, it's not wine, it's truly the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I'm speaking, especially as Catholics, I think we have to renew our faith in the real presence, that Jesus is truly body, blood, soul, divinity present, and every consecrated host. And how privileged we are is that the apostles, Peter, James, and John, they were able to see our Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration just once. Whereas every time we go to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and they say the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, when the priest lifts up the host, in a certain sense, we have a transfiguration experience every time we participate in Mass. So let's be humbly thankful that we have the gift to be Catholics and feel the real desire to be missionaries, to bring the good news to the whole world, that Christ is truly present in his body, blood, soul, and divinity in every consecrated host. And he doesn't simply want to stay in the hands of the priest, but he wants to find his abode within the very depths of our soul. And if we do that, Jesus gives us this promise. He says in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So if we are fervent in reception of the Eucharist during the course of our life, we receive our Lord with faith, devotion, and love in this short life, because our life is very short. We're here a very short time. When we die, our Lord promises us that we will be with him forever in heaven, and we'll no longer just see him by means of symbols and by means of images, but we'll see him, what's called the beatific vision, we'll see him face to face. So I thought I would share that passage, yeah, from Sacrosanctum Concilium, I think is a key passage to come to a real encounter with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the greatest of all sacraments, which is the Eucharist.
Yeah, well, and I've shared this maybe once or twice on the air in, you know, past months of what really kind of happened for me, where I had that encounter that made me say, oh, I didn't realize how real this was for me. So I came into the church as a convert in my mid-20s, mm-hmm, and I, for whatever reason, I hadn't been back to the church I'd grown up in for several years, and it was still the church that my mom attended. And there was one weekend we were back visiting there in my old hometown, and my wife, my kids, and I, we went to the vigil mass Saturday because my mom had asked us to go with her to her church, to Southern Baptist Church, the next morning. And so we went, and I remember walking in there, and this is a church that I'd grown up in. And when I walked in there, I thought, oh, it feels so empty. And I wasn't even thinking about that before I walked into the building, but I walked into their sanctuary area, and these are people that love Jesus. They're good people. And I just thought, oh, you are missing out on so much. I wish that I could, without, you know, the confrontations that come a lot of times in those conversations, be able to introduce you to what you could really have if you could encounter Jesus in the Eucharist. And that it really just kind of gave this shock to my system of, I didn't realize how strongly, how, you know, deeply I believed that Jesus was really there in the Eucharist. You know, I would have said, yes, of course, I believe. I want to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. But it wasn't until that moment that it really just shocked me into that that kind of moment of oh, this is more than just words that I'm saying. This is something that goes down to the very essence, the very fiber of my being, that I really believe Jesus is there. Have you had one of those moments in your life, or maybe several moments like that, Father?
Well, I've always been a cradle Catholic, so I've always believed. But when I was ordained, I'd have to say this, I had the privilege of being ordained by Pope John Paul II on May 25th in 86. And when I was ordained by John Paul II, when he placed his hands on my head, and then Afterward, I proceeded to the altar in which, actually my first Mass was a concelebrated Mass by Pope John Paul II, surrounded by many bishops and priests, and there were about 80 of us that were ordained in the same celebration. I've always believed, but when I received the grace of ordination and then proceeding to celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, I'll tell you, that was just an unforgettable experience, and from that moment on a daily basis, I've been celebrating the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass for our people, sometimes more than once because of the lack of priests. But that might be kind of my transfiguration experience as a priest, the ordination. Every year on May 25th, I thank God that God has given me the grace to persevere through another year of the great vocation to become a priest. So that would probably be the prime example, I would have to say, in my own life.
Talking with Father Ed Broom today here on The Inner Life, and we're taking your phone calls as well at 888-914-9149. As we look to tomorrow, the Feast of the Transfiguration, maybe you've had that kind of transfiguration moment in your life where Jesus really kind of revealed himself to you. Maybe it was there in the Eucharist, you know, that moment that you understood this is an amazing miracle that's happening in front of you as bread and wine, simple, simple things are being miraculously transformed into the body, the blood, the soul, the divinity of Jesus. How has Jesus made himself real to you in your life? And we'd love to hear your story, 888-914-9149. We'll be back with more of your phone calls and more with Father Ed Broom in just a moment here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm Josh Raymond, joined today by Father Ed Broom, a priest with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. He's the associate pastor at St. Peter Schnell's Church in Hawaiian Gardens, California. Today, talking about the transfiguration of Jesus and also taking your phone calls, sharing our experiences of when we really encountered Christ in a special, a very significant way that helped us grow in our faith, helped us grow closer to Christ. How has that happened in your life? Our phone number here, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And Father, let's go back to the phones. B is listening to us in Eugene, Oregon. B, go Ducks. Welcome to The Inner Life. Glad to have you here.
Thank you. Hi, Father.
Hi.
Anyway, I had just gotten a divorce, and I was very angry. I was very angry at God. Now, why I was angry at God, I don't know, but I was, for letting this happen to me. And then I got this growth on my eye, right on the rim of my eye, on the bottom. And I tried everything to get it off, everything. Pulling, tried to cut it off, everything. I went to the doctor. He said, well, he couldn't do anything because it was so close to my eye. I had to go to a eye doctor, whatever they call. Anyway, so I called them. They wanted $500 to take it off. And I said, I don't have five. I have no money. So I'm sitting at the kitchen table just crying and crying. And my four-year-old daughter comes in. Well, she was almost four. She comes in, what's the matter? And I got this thing on my eye. I have no money. And she just stood there for a minute. And then she said, why don't you pray about it? And I just let loose on her, yelled at her, told her, that's a great idea. Get in your room. Send her to her room. I sat there and I cried for a little bit longer. And then I thought, what am I doing? So I got up, went into her room, and I said, that's a great idea. Let's pray about it. So we held hands. I said, Lord, there's nothing I can do. I have no money to get rid of this. I can't do it. I'm just turning it over to you, just turning it completely over. We said our prayer, and I said, oh, I feel better. Went to bed. In the morning, I got up. Went in the bathroom, you know, like you do, and looked in the mirror. It was gone. completely gone. I went in my daughter's room. I was crying. She goes, why are you crying? I said, look, it's gone. She goes, I told you. And I was just overwhelmed by that.
Well, that's beautiful. And thanks be to God for your daughter, that she had that deep insight to invite you to pray. And you see the power of the innocent ones, your little daughter, very close to God, caring for you, thinking about, surely if we maybe go to doctors, but let's first go to our divine physician, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he'll help you. And that's such a beautiful, beautiful example. Try to cherish that moment the rest of your life. And I would say, well, we're listening to you on Relevant Radio, but maybe tell the whole world about that beautiful episode in your life and how people can be healed by fervent prayer and by the innocent ones, like your little daughter. I'm sure she prayed too. So you prayed, your daughter prayed, and God heard you. And thanks be to God, your eye was improved, even without having to go to the doctor. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, you know, B, I'm so glad you called in and shared. And Father, listening to her story too, you know, we all face doubts at different points in our life. And that's one of the beautiful things about having a moment like that, where you have that miracle that happens in your life. When you face those doubts, you can look back and say, you know what? I have something substantial that really did happen in my life that I can hold on to here. And it helps you through those moments of doubt.
Yes, I think Father John Hardin, who died in the year 2000, he said this, that people that lose their faith usually are people that give up prayer. So no matter what happens, we should always try to be faithful to our prayer life. As we see the apostles there, they fell asleep this time. But once the Holy Spirit descends upon them, they're going to be very faithful and very prayerful and get other people to really pray. So, yes, we all go through doubts, but I think when we go through doubts, I love that prayer of divine mercy, where we look at the divine mercy image and we pray, Jesus, I trust in you. When people are doubting, I'll sometimes say, well, go in front of the divine mercy image of St. Faustina, look at it with love, and say 10 times, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. And very often, after that short prayer in front of the divine mercy image, people, their doubts start to dissipate, and they start to have greater trust in the Lord, even in the midst of their trials and tribulations.
Yeah. Father, before we run out of time, we've only got a few minutes left here, but looking at that scene of the Transfiguration, you know, there's this phrase that we sometimes use when we talk about spiritual moments, where we feel extremely inspired, where we're very close to God. These moments are sometimes called those mountaintop experiences. And anybody who's had that true encounter, who, you know, has that real moment like this, they might feel like Peter, where he looked and he said, yeah, we should stay here. You know, let's set up some sort of shelter so we don't have to leave. Let's stay here as long as we possibly can. But that's never the reality in the life of a Christian. Why does God not want us to stay on that mountain? Why does he want us to journey back down into our ordinary life?
I think it's related to the Transfiguration and what is called the Paschal experience. The Paschal experience is the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as Venerable Fulton Sheen says, without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday. So while we live in this world, we pray in the Hail, Holy Queen, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. But we also pray Valley of Tears. There's a mixture of desolation and consolation, as St. Ignatius would point out. I think God allows us to have these peak experiences called consolations so that we can go down the mountain and patiently carry our cross. But also aware of the fact that at the end of Calvary, at the end of the Good Friday, there's going to be the glory and the joy of the resurrection. So another point that I like to highlight is the Transfiguration. Jesus is pointing to our eternal destiny, which is heaven. We're all created, as the Catechism points out, to know, love, and serve God in this life so that we'll be happy with him forever in heaven. So that'd be my reflection, that God allows us to have these moments of consolation. We can go down and patiently carry our cross, but aware of the fact that without the Good Friday, there is not the Easter Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. Father Ed Broom, thank you so much for being with us here. Before we wrap up, we've got about 30 seconds. Could I ask you to offer a blessing for our listeners?
Yes. Through the intercession of Mary and St. Joseph, God's angels and saints, may God bless all of you with peace and joy, long life and eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, have a happy Feast of the Transfiguration tomorrow, Father Ed Broom. And thanks for being with us during this hour. Also, thank you to Patrick Alog and Sarah Tafoya in helping to produce the program. And we're going to have the podcast up for you in just a short little bit here. If you were late to the show, you can find that and listen to the entire hour at our website, relevantradio.com, or on the Relevant Radio app. Stay tuned. We've got Mass that starts here in just about 30 seconds, and that's followed by The Faith Explained with Cale Clark. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and look forward to speaking with you again on Monday here on The Inner Life.